It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, coming to you today from the home studios off the mean streets of Summerlin, Nevada. No live video stream today on YouTube. We shut it down for maintenance today, as my son is working on that, and we'll be back on Monday with full streams. And next week, live from Raiders training camp. So we got there, everybody. We still got a lot of work to do. Still got to get through the summer. Our summertime radio project on the most influential Raider draft picks of all time. That will pick up on Monday. So it's going to be a busy rest of the summer. So I hope everybody's doing great today. Everybody have a good weekend. We're always brought to you first by PTs. They fuel the monologue. My longest reigning partner on this show is Golden Entertainment with PT's 5 to 7, midnight to 2. The best happy hour in town. I'm watching golf. What a great leaderboard. Scotty Scheffler just got to 9 under with Matt Fitzpatrick at 9 under. These are major champions at the top. And we'll talk about Rory McIlroy, and I'll give you a bit of a leaderboard today. And we're going to go in a bunch of different directions today. I'm going to lead with the Christian Wilkins news, as he won't be available to start camp. And then in hour number two of the show, I'm going to interview Eddie Pascal at some point this hour. As you know, Eddie is one of our valued teammates here on Raider Nation Radio. My teammate for 11 years with the Raiders. He's leaving the Raiders today, and he's moving with his wife. And he'll have the details coming up on this. But hour number two, I'll do another monologue, and then we're going to kind of do a best of Eddie Pascal. I asked Eddie to send us some of his interviews, some of his off-season content, because Eddie had a big role with the work I did, and he had a lot to do with the launch of this radio station. He was one of the few people in the meetings, behind the scenes, working with Lotus Broadcasting and the Raiders and his department to bring you Raider Nation Radio, which is pretty cool because we have our own station, and I think it's great. Because when we didn't have our own station in the past, it was a mess. It's a mess because we didn't get the respect we deserved in the Bay Area. We just didn't get it. And now we control our content and we have Raiders content on the flagship station. Eddie had a lot to do with that. So we'll get to some of his best content coming up next hour. But I'll lead with the Christian Wilkins story. Unfortunately, it's not good news. He's not ready to practice as the Raiders open up training camp. Ian Rappaport reported this first, and then the Raiders even put out a statement on this, and it's very unfortunate that he won't be ready to go, but some people are encouraged that he'll be ready to go sooner than later, which means he'll play this year. Ian Rappaport, 3 hours ago, the Raiders placed defensive tackle Christian Wilkins on the physically unable to perform list as Wilkins is recovering from foot surgery. He's been making sound progress recently. Why would he add that at the end? He's been making sound progress recently. I mean, we've seen him around town. We've seen him around the building. He's not in intensive care. This is not someone that has a life-threatening disease or injury here. He's got an injury. And I'd like to say, and I'll say it throughout the show, I hope Raider Nation does a better job at cleaning up other members of Raider Nation that are coming after this guy. The guy's hurt. He's not a dog. He's not a guy who's taking time off. They're not load managing him. He's not out at strip clubs partying. I got a strip club story to get to here in the monologue. He's an injured member of our team, the Las Vegas Raiders. So you don't have to go on Twitter and mock the guy. We know how much money he's making. We know what he's getting. He's a very high-paid athlete in this organization and in this league. He's only 29 years old. He's signed for a while. And let's see what he does. I mean, last year, the Raiders really didn't do much with him because he was hurt. And he spent his first five seasons with the Dolphins where he developed into being one of the better defensive tackles in football. So when Pete Carroll addressed this issue in the offseason and he said there was a setback and how difficult this process has been, Pete Carroll gave us that information. And we talked about it on a show at length. And there's not much to add. We don't know what the scenario is, how severe this is, but it feels like with whatever he's had with surgery or surgeries, and I'm not aware if he's had multiple surgeries, this is an injury that should heal. And if it didn't heal right the first time and it's healing better after a second procedure, good for him. And what does it do? Well, I think the depth of the Raiders, the strongest depth that the Raiders have is the defensive line. Okay, God forbid this was Geno Smith. God forbid this was Ashton Jeanty or Brock Bowers. Christian Wilkins makes a lot of money, but he should be back. And he needs to come back, and we got to hope that he comes back sooner than later. Because I think he's a monster part of this team. He's already a Pro Bowler. If you've been listening to me for years, we want to get Pro Bowlers on this team. We want to have better players. We want players who are going to be really good or great. All the players are good. They're in the NFL. But there's a difference between an All-Pro and a Pro Bowler and someone who doesn't make a Pro Bowl. We got a guy in the building in Christian Wilkins at 29 who's a Pro Bowler. He's a very good player. And when he was spotted in June still wearing a walking boot, people were really worried about that. Some people were encouraged because he's healing. Wherever he is in the process of this treatment, he's further along. So I just hope he comes back for the season. I don't know when he's coming back. It's a big blow. It's a massive blow for all the right reasons. One, he's a great teammate. He's a valuable player in this league, and he makes a lot of money. And that's the elephant in the room. We brought him in here because he was going to get paid a lot of money. You don't get Christian Wilkins on a discount. And they brought him in for the right reasons, the former regime. We got to hope that this guy can play. Because if he does, the defensive line is a monster. If the defensive line up front with Christian Wilkins, Malcolm Kuntz, and Max Crosby is legit. And there's three or four other players who are going to be in some type of rotation. Now, I believe this is a tremendous opportunity for Tyree Wilson. We had a caller, and I was on a podcast the other day that talked about this. This is Tyree Wilson's moment. He might be better on the interior than on the outside. He was drafted by a former regime to come in here and be an edge rusher, to be a freakish player like a condor, to come around the edge with some type of bend and needing a double team to stop him because he was a freak athlete. Well, Tyree Wilson's still a freak athlete. But maybe his strength is going to be on the inside in a bull rushing capacity with his hands up. I'm a big hands up guy. If you're not going to get to the quarterback, get your hands up. Tyree Wilson's like Kevin Durant. If he puts his hand up in a passing lane and he can knock the ball down, and he can have a quarterback have to move from side to side because he's coming up the middle and his hands are up, I think that'll be important. I really do. So I'm not saying he's going to replace Christian Wilkins, but he better be ready to replace him. And Butler's a really good player, and the Raiders have some depth. They also drafted a couple of defensive tackles. So Christian Wilkins is too valuable to fail. And that's the other thing I wanted to get here in the monologue. He's too important to fail. If it turns out, and I hope it doesn't, nor am I indicating it will, that he's not able to play for the Raiders. For whatever reason, he's injured, and the injury just doesn't go right. We can't afford that. He got too much guaranteed money. He's got to play. We need him because of his financial burden on the team and the fact that he's a great player. So I'm looking at the guys that they have at defensive tackle across here. There's a couple of players that were drafted. Tonka Hemingway's here. J.J. Pegues. There's players who are young. But God, man, we've had a graveyard around here for defensive tackles. And I'm not putting Christian Wilkins in that graveyard. I really think he's going to be a great player. And I have no indication that his injury is going to hold him back much longer. But God, how many players have we drafted in the last 6 to 10 years to be a young defensive tackle who's either out of the league or traded or didn't get another contract? I got the list. It's massive. We've really failed. Not this new regime. They deserve credit. This is not about John Spytek and Pete Carroll. And the other guys who drafted these players did their homework, did their due diligence, and wanted these certain type of defensive tackles. But God, man, I've been waiting for a defensive tackle to be great around here for quite some time. We know we got the edge rushers with Mad Max Crosby. We know that we're going to see Malcolm Kuntz play better this year. We know that Tyree Wilson is reportedly a defensive edge rusher who can move inside. The rest of these guys got to step up, and they got to step up big. And as much as we think that Tyree Wilson's going to be backing up Malcolm Kuntz, because Max Crosby ain't coming off the field. Max Crosby is going to be in consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. This is his window. He was not in his prime, Max, and he played like a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He had an injury, shut down last year. Max is good to go. He's a game wrecker. He can compete for Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to play at a level of T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, the great edge rushers. And I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. I think he was ranked the sixth best edge rusher. Are you nuts? Are you nuts? He's in the top three. If you want to put Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt ahead of him, go ahead and do it. But Max is in the conversation. He's not going to come off the field unless he's banged up or he needs a rest. And I've never seen him need a rest. So that means Tyree Wilson's not going to come in at one of the edge rushing positions because Max is going to be there. And presumably Geno's going to extend some drives. And Ashton Gentry's going to extend some drives. So we're going to have, hopefully, Max getting a little bit of a rest. But when it comes to Adam Butler, who's a very valuable player, and the rest of the interior defensive tackles, they got to hold down the fort until Christian Wilkins comes back. And if Christian Wilkins comes back early in the season, depending on what his designation is, will he be ready to go or will it take him a month to ramp up? Normally today, these modern athletes are pretty good at ramping up. Once they get cleared to play, they're ready to play football. So again, I would hope that everybody today in Raider Nation does a better job on social media and doesn't criticize this 29-year-old man who's injured and he's probably devastated that he can't be there to practice with his teammates. He doesn't need you to say he's a bust. He's a waste of a draft pick. He's a waste of all this money. Don't do that. Get behind the guy. He's injured. He's not faking it. The guy's trying to get healthy. Know the difference between a guy who doesn't hustle and a guy who can't play because they're going through an injury. It's troubling because I'm a really big believer that he changes everything for us in the Raider Nation. He's a game wrecker. We don't have a lot of Pro Bowlers. We don't. We don't have Pro Bowlers in the secondary. We got some players here who are trying to prove that they can play in the league, let alone make the roster here, because they're good players, but they're not Pro Bowlers. We don't got Ed Reed and Rod Woodson in the secondary. We don't have Charles Woodson and Mike Haynes, a cornerback. We got to count on those guys on the outside and in the secondary playing better because Christian Wilkins is causing havoc and quarterbacks can't step up. And the corners are going to be able to jump some routes. So I guess I'm optimistic, but I've seen injuries. I've been doing this almost 30 years, and there have been some players who have injuries and they can never get through a specific injury. I hope it isn't the case here. I hope that he's able to go. If you want to get a call of encouragement in, 702-365-9200. Scotty Scheffler just went to 10 under. Wow. 10 under par as he's on the 18th tee box at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. 10 under par for Scotty Scheffler. That's for all the golf fans out there. There is a big NFL story today. Lloyd Howell is out as the NFL PA, the union's executive director, because he ran up some tabs at strip clubs. Oh my God, how stupid do you have to be? We in Vegas have pound for pound the biggest strip clubs in the world. People from all over the world come to our strip clubs. You don't use the ATM in the strip club. They'll charge you $20 for a fee, and you don't want a record of your ATM if you're a corporate executive in a strip club. And you don't want to pay the driver to wait outside the strip club, get this, for 7 hours. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I could see the driver, hey, do a couple of trips around the block. I'm going to get a table dance and close out my bill, but 7 hours. Sources told ESPN that Howell resigned on his own and surprised some members of the NFL Players Association in their 10-person executive committee. His tenure comes to an end under scrutiny after several recent reports from Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre is now, I guess, the new hot investigative reporter. ESPN reported that the FBI was investigating the financial dealings of the NFL Players Association and the MLB. Baseball Players Association, related to a multi-billion dollar group licensing firm. So the point is, I don't know, there was an executive that got caught at a Coldplay concert with his girlfriend. So his wife found out via social media. He's toast. He's throwing away. I think he's worth over $1 billion. I think this guy. That's a trending story here. And now we're finding out a story here that a guy made some mistakes and he's out. That's a pretty good job to have. You know, representing the players and the player side is important. So that is a story that broke today that is getting a lot of funny feedback as a lot of people are talking about his strip club expenses, which is a big story because a lot of people in the sport go out and have entertainment and they have privacy. But your privacy will be known to everybody else if you have a high-end executive job or you do something and you report that income or it's on your credit card and you turn it in for expenses. Are there people stupid enough in 2025 that are turning in strip club expenses or bottle service nightclub expenses? Wow. And today's a day of a lot of drama because the Guardians in Major League Baseball, this is interesting. Their pitcher, Luis Ortiz, is going to remain on non-disciplinary paid leave through August 31st as the MLB is investigating unusual betting detected on pitches he threw. Not a game, specific pitches. Ortiz is 4-9 with a 4.36 ERA. He was placed on leave July 3rd through the All-Star break after sportsbooks reported suspicious betting on the first pitches thrown by Ortiz in select innings against the Mariners on June 15th and the Cardinals on June 27th. Wow. These sportsbooks are pretty sharp. Gamblers are pretty sharp. Most of them lose, but you can bet in-game now. You can bet on individual pitchers and batters. So that's a story coming out that's happening right now that we'll keep an eye on. Yesterday I was at NBA Summer League. I stuck around for a little bit and watched some fun basketball there. I want to thank Albert Hall, everybody at the NBA Summer League for having us out there. Yesterday they had their big film festival and there was a lot of people there and we had a really good time. A lot of Raider fans are Damian Lillard fans as he's from Oakland. His dad would always come to Raider tailgates. Nine-time All-Star Damian Lillard agreed to a three-year, $42 million contract to go to the Blazers. Why would the Blazers give him $42 million coming off an Achilles injury? Anybody? Bueller? You can come off an Achilles injury at the end of your career and get $42 million. I like Dame. I think he's a really good player. He's a future Hall of Famer. I didn't think there was a marketplace for $42 million when you were run out of Milwaukee because you couldn't play and they moved on from him. And Portland brings him back for a swan song just to do a victory lap in Portland where he never won anything, never won anything. And now they're going to give him a $42 million kiss on for coming back. Wow. The Milwaukee Bucks waived Lillard earlier this month and stretched the remaining $113 million. On his contract to sign Miles Turner. I mean, if this doesn't show you how crazy all of this NBA money is, I don't know what can. I mean, I thought it was going to be Damian Lillard going to Portland to retire as a Blazer. Another $42 million? Yeah, I guess if you can get it, you can get it. Hey, today's a real bittersweet day. Our teammate at Silver and Black Productions here and on Raider Nation Radio, Eddie Pascal, is leaving after 11 years with the Raiders. And we're going to interview him coming up here in a little bit. So I'm excited to talk to him. And I told Eddie earlier in the week, I said, Eddie, give us some of your programming, like a best of. I want to hear a little bit of your interviews, your off-season stuff. So we're going to play that at some point. Bobby's going to get to it in hour number two on our Modelo Friday. But if you get a chance, go on social media if you're a Raider fan, at Eddie Pascal, P-A-S-K-A-L, and thank him for everything he did. He had a lot to do with what we did here. Really did. Building the station, the flagship. It wasn't easy. It's still a work in progress. And Eddie is a valuable teammate here. And when one door, he closed it. It's just him. He didn't do anything wrong. He's leaving with his wife to go back home where he's from. And we want to wish Eddie well today. And a lot of our listeners know Eddie. And he's done a really good job here on the channel. So that's it. Scottie Scheffler is 10 under. John Rahm is 1 under. So Rahm, look at all these guys who are under par. And looking up at Scheffler at 10 under. Man, we are watching the newest version of Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. If he can win this Open Championship, it would be amazing. Hope everyone's having a good day. The DeCastroverde Law Group, also part of our partnership team. On a cooling off day, only 91 degrees in Vegas today. How about that?
The thing about the NFL, every season is a season of change, so we get accustomed to it. Each week is a week of change. So, you know, I would say that, you know, we're all used to something like that to a certain degree, but just working with Pete's been great. I mean, it's been great. I mean, just the energy, talk about that, the football knowledge, learning from there, and just having somebody to be able to talk to about situational football, talk about defensive philosophy, it's been great for me. And that's me being selfish, just talking about from my perspective. I couldn't be happier with the situation. It's been great.
It's Patrick Graham, JT, back with you. The M Resort Spa and Casino has got a whole bunch of pool parties coming up, concerts outside in the summer. I drove by yesterday. The second tower is going up faster than expected, so head on out. If you're new to town, you're coming in, you're looking for a place to stay, the official team hotel of the Silver and Black is the M Resort Spa and Casino. So the Christian Wilkins story, there's Patrick Graham, and what hurts about Christian Wilkins not being available now is that he's going to miss out on some preseason and camp, which is important, but he's a veteran. He's a bull rusher. He's a guy that stunts. He can get to the quarterback. He can stop the run. He'll be fine if and when he comes back healthy. That's it. That's the whole conversation. There's nothing more. We're not talking about this crazy scheme. No, he's playing under that guy, Patrick Graham. Rob Leonard is one of the best defensive line coaches in football. I think he's one of the biggest up-and-comers. I have him on the top 10 list of up-and-coming future head coaches. Will be Rob Leonard. Patrick Graham, in my opinion, will be a head coach next year. He was in the cycle. He was a finalist for Jacksonville. He lost out for Leon Cohn, the guy who said, Duval. Okay, so that could have been his job. And I think next year, Patrick Graham, if the Raiders do well defensively, will be a head coach, and deservingly so. But Pete Carroll gets to coach Christian Wilkins for the first time here, if and when he comes back healthy. And that's going to be really important. So what do you want to do with this topic? I don't want to leave it alone, because I'm going to be interviewing people at camp, and we're going to say, what's going on with Christian Wilkins? Is he coming back? The Raiders have a history, a proud history, of not giving out medical information, dating back to Al Davis. Belichick does the same thing when he was coaching. You're on the injured list. You're on the PUP list. We'll let you know when he's ready to play. So I'm not going to guess when he comes back. I just hope it's sooner than later, because he's such a good player, and I think he could be the difference maker in a Raider defense being a playoff type of defense. And I'm going to talk more about TJ Watt next hour. He just signed his big deal. So he's the highest paid non-quarterback in football history. He's playing for Pittsburgh, that is in the same boat as the Raiders. Pittsburgh's better than the Raiders. They've had a significantly better record. And they brought in Aaron Rodgers to go to the Super Bowl. Well, I don't think they're going to win their division in Pittsburgh. I think they're going to be a wild card team. And aren't the hopes of the Raiders being a wild card team? So when we see this and what's happening, I'd be a little bit concerned on Christian Wilkins, but a couple of people asked me, no time to panic. We don't panic. Most of us who are listening here don't panic. Manny Pacquiao was working out at the Raider facility. Good to see that. Manny Pacquiao has a fight coming up this Saturday. There's a lot of people that I know who are going, and I won't be here for that, but I'll tell you, I'm not happy that he's fighting. As he's fighting Barrios, and the card took a big blow here because Isaac Cruz is off the card. Cruz, who previously held the WBA super lightweight title, was scheduled for a rematch against Ferreiro in the Prime Video pay-per-view card, but he was forced to draw from the fight. So that's a big deal. If you got a ticket to that fight, that was going to be a really good fight leading up to the Manny Pacquiao fight. So Pacquiao, very Raider-friendly. The people that had him in the building said he was a great guy, took a lot of pictures with the players, was hanging around and doing a lot of cool things here. Most of the news here after this week is going to be about training camps and injuries and who's going to be available. So Shedeur Sanders and the rookies for the Browns reported today. Shedeur Sanders had a couple of speeding tickets, but he's jumping in. And I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the starting quarterback for Cleveland next year. And I think he's going to win that job. I think he's going to be a good player in the league. The league did him a disservice. He should have never dropped to the fifth round. He should have been a first-round pick, end of the first round, beginning of the second, and he got screwed. He got royally screwed. I think he's going to win the job. The Chargers are reported to camp on Wednesday. The Lions are reporting on Saturday. And then Kansas City is reporting on Monday. And then on Tuesday, July 22nd, the Raiders and pretty much everybody else reports. And there's a couple of big storylines out there. The biggest one, Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Ramsey joining up with the Steelers. What will happen with Terry McLaurin? Will he get a new contract with the Commanders? I don't think they're crazy enough to trade him at all. And what's going to happen to the contract extensions of Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys? He deserves a big one. I would not pay him T.J. Watt money, because T.J. Watt's already been the Defensive Player of the Year. And Trey Hendrickson wants to get paid from Cincinnati. And if they don't pay him, I don't care how good Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Jamar Chase are. If they don't have Hendrickson, their best defensive player, he's their Max Crosby, they ain't going anywhere. And now a lot of second-round picks are signing, including Jack Besh. Hey, everybody, how cool is this for Jack Besh today, who's been through more than any young man that I know recently? His brother was killed on New Year's Day due to the terrorist attack in New Orleans. He signed his contract. That's a big moment for him. His brother's not alive. His family's grieving. He's grieving. He made it to the NFL as a second-round pick, and he signed his contract. Congratulations to Jack Besh. When we introduced him at the rookie draft class luncheon, I was in the green room with him. We were there with the four rookies. I had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes again. And he's just a great kid. Wow. What a story. As he transferred from LSU and he went to TCU, and now he gets drafted in the second round by the Raiders. I think he's got to be what Hunter Renfrow was when Hunter was great. Hunter had that 100-plus reception season. I'm not saying Jack's going to do that as a rookie, but Jack has got to be valuable like Hunter Renfrow was when healthy, because Jack Besh is going to be a slot guy who can block downfield, catch a ball and get upfield, and exert some pain on defenders. He's a big part of this, man. He's a really big part of it, and he's going to be running free as Brock Bowers is going to be double-teamed. So this is cool that he gets his contract. No one was worried about it, but all those second-rounders now are pretty much signed along the way. And some camp storylines for the Raiders. Eddie Pascal, in the next hour, did an off-season piece that you'll be able to hear here, and we'll dive into that. So that's what we're doing today. There's NBA Summer League. The championship game is on Sunday. I just got a text from them thanking us from doing the broadcast yesterday and reminding you that there are good tickets available for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Normally it's sold out. So if you're out of the heat, you want some entertainment, just walk up to the box office at NBA Summer League and buy some tickets. Bring the kids on Saturday and Sunday for some autographs, and then the championship game will go on there, which will be really exciting. This is brought to you now, this hour brought to you by La Casa Cigars. Mike is really excited because he's very close to reopening in a bigger space. So if you like cigars, and I got four of them packed up for the weekend, I got four of them ready to go, including a Rocky Patel. So I'm excited for that. La Casa Cigars and Lounge, a live entertainment 7 nights a week. Same location, but a much better and bigger venue coming up. Eddie Pascal is going to join us next. Please stick around and listen to this. All right, everybody, welcome back here to the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. JT, as we continue on Friday, the best way to describe this is bittersweet. Eddie Pascal, longtime friend, colleague at the Raiders, is moving on from the organization, and he has a great life and opportunity with his wife set up in front of him. And I wanted to make sure we talked to him before he left, because, Eddie, we spent a lot of time together throughout your career and my career with the Raiders, and I'm really sad to see you go.
Yeah, man. And like I said, we were talking just a minute ago, JT, like the word I keep coming back to is bittersweet, right? Like it's, you know, in so many ways, like, you know, I started here, I was a, 21-year-old knucklehead, fresh out of college and just trying to figure it out. And, you know, I leave now, 11 years later with two kids, a wife, you know, it's just – I've so much life has happened for me since I've been here, and the organization has been so wonderful to me from the jump back in Oakland to obviously getting the experience here in Las Vegas. And I was joking with a few of the guys on the production staff the other day. I was like, you know, it feels kind of like when you graduate college a little bit, where it's like, you know, you're going on to the next thing, and everyone's, you know, celebrating and shaking hands and hugging, and you're like, you know, it'll be different, certainly, because I won't be here in the building every day, which will be a big adjustment for me, I think, certainly come the fall. But you know, it's been a lot of fun to kind of reflect and share stories and laugh about all the funny, crazy, you know, unexpected twists and turns this thing has taken. And yeah, I'm very grateful to have been here as long as I was. And again, I think most importantly too is to kind of be able to leave on a really positive note, to leave on like a note of celebration and certainly, like I said, a bittersweet departure, but you know, being able to kind of tell the people here how much they've meant to me, how much this place has meant to me. And now, you know, for the first time in gosh, JT, 12 years, I mean, since I was a young fella, you know, having the chance to watch this team as a true fan and to watch all the creative, awesome content that this group's going to put out, and to be able to enjoy it as someone who doesn't have to look at it with that technical lens, and to be able to enjoy a game day and to celebrate this team in a different way. So I'm, again, like really, really fortunate, you know, leaving very grateful and excited for what's to come.
I mean, it was a big chunk of your life. You're a young guy, and you talk about the 11, 12 years here, and, you know, you don't want to work your whole life. You know, when you look at your life, you go, man, if I work 30-plus years, and you're talking a third of your life working for this great organization, and you saw a lot. And, you know, I'm proud of all the work you did and all the work we did together, but you're one of the guys who did the Oakland to Las Vegas move, and a lot of people thought about doing it and didn't do it. A lot of people did it, and for whatever reason, didn't last that long, and you go out on your own terms. But that was a big chapter, and let's talk about that when you were thinking about, wow, you know, I'm going to be moving from the Bay Area to Las Vegas, and the Raiders, you know, they moved once before, but Las Vegas didn't have a football team. What was going through your mind at that point in your life?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a, a lot, you know, and you remember our mutual friend Vittorio so well, and he was such a kind of key figure in all of this happening and me ultimately coming out here. And it was just for us, you know, it's so funny. I was talking with one of the production guys yesterday, and we were kind of talking about, gosh, would you ever imagine that you would have been here for, you know, 5.5 years? And it's so funny because you look back and obviously this part isn't super funny, but you look back and when so much of our team, JT, so, you know, the production guys, me and Marcus and that crew came out here, we came out here a week before COVID, right? So our first year in Las Vegas was completely skewed in this world of, I mean, you remember it was like a bizarro world of we can't do this. And you know, we literally, and not an exaggeration, we spent the first majority of the first of our 9 months here in the house. And so it was a very bizarre way to start the experience here. And then, like, you remember what, you know, watching that first season at Allegiant with no fans and having that bizarre experience was crazy. But, you know, I'm so grateful that we stuck it out and I know I've shared this with you, JT, but, like, you know, my wife and I kind of look back on the Vegas experience and just we have such fond memories of it. Right. You know, my wife was one of those people who had the opportunity to go back to graduate school when we were here. And, you know, she's a very proud UNLV alumni, which she's really stoked on. And, you know, we had so much life happened here for us and, you know, the ability to obviously be with the team and to kind of see the city through their lens, but also to just be, again, like a normal person. And my wife was a graduate student, to kind of see the city through that lens too, was really awesome and really rewarding. And you know, I obviously look at the Oakland chapter with a ton of fondness, like I know you do too. And I remember all the things that maybe we had a little more dirt under our fingernails back then, but, you know, to have the two separate experiences, to have the experience of Oakland, to have the experience of Las Vegas is something that means a lot to me and something that I'm really proud of, like you said, to be one of those people who got to live in both worlds, you know, really similar to you.
Eddie Pascal joins us. He's wrapping up his run with the Silver and Black. You've heard him a bunch here on the flagship. He had a lot to do with what was going on behind the scenes and the birth of this flagship station. That's some pretty good experience that you had along the way as Lotus Broadcasting and the Raiders came together to build that partnership. Very unique, as Lotus has pretty much all the teams here in town, but they never did professional football at this magnitude. A lot of work went into that. Talk about that.
Yeah, and again, you know, like, I know it kind of preceded, you know, a lot of the folks that are there on the staff right now, but I mean, you know, I've spent a lot of time over the past couple of weeks, you know, just banking people, and I think, you know, like, you know, Q, who's done an incredible job with the programming, and Doug, and obviously you, who are so involved in making sure that everything looks and sounds the way it needs to look and sound. Like, there's so many people, and I think that's really been one of the biggest, you know, great reflections for me, JT, is like, when we look back on all these things that, air quotes, I've done, it's a team, right? Mm-hmm. It's the production team here. It's Q and Doug, and it's, you know, on your side of things. So it's been a lot of fun to again, you know, feel like this partnership with 920 has grown and evolved. And I was sharing with someone the other day, I was like, you know, I feel like this is the closest version of what we wanted this to be since we got to Las Vegas. And obviously a partnership, like all partnerships, grow and evolve and change. But to kind of see the growth of this one and to really feel like we're all, you know, moving in the right direction, and we're all looking to accomplish the same goals. And we feel really good about the people that are representing not only the radio station, but representing this organization on this radio station's airwaves. Like, has been a lot of fun to kind of see that growth and that evolution. So, again, there's so many people that go into it, and there's so many, you know, different groups of folks that are responsible for making all this happen on a Monday to Friday, and obviously on a game day too. But yeah, it's been a blast, and I've learned a lot along the way. I certainly don't have all the answers, and I'll never pretend to, but yeah, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have learned as much as I have over the past few years since we got here to Vegas.
Eddie Pascal, I wanted to ask you about the content you created over the years, the fifth quarter, upon further review, game days, and all of that. You built a lot of relationships with players who are trying to make the team, made the team, practice squad, pro bowlers, all of that. What are some of the fondest memories you have of building relationships with the players in the building?
Gosh, I mean, man, we have talked to a lot of people over the past decade, right? And to your point, right, guys that have been pro bowlers, all pro guys that were here for 6 weeks, and, you know, guys that, you know, had a successful career but maybe did it somewhere else. Like, we've just been so fortunate to meet as many wonderful people as we have. And, you know, I think someone asked me the other night, like, oh, who are, like, you know, when you think of, like, the great chats you got to have, like, who are the ones that come to mind? And obviously our guys, AJ Cole and Daniel Carlson, are always top of mind just because they've been so wonderful with us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Donald Penn is a guy who was so generous with his time with us in the early goings. And again, has kind of, you know, I don't want to say come back, but has certainly been more of a visual presence here with a lot of our program. And it's been awesome to kind of see Donald kind of enter this, like, next chapter of his life and his career. And so, you know, Bryce Butler's another one who's done so much with us over the past couple of years. And, you know, we've just been, I know I sound like a broken record, but we've just been so fortunate to meet as many wonderful people along the road as we have. And, you know, I think, like, you know, Alec Engel was another guy that comes to mind that, like, wasn't he, you know, he was, you kind of, again, was here for the Oakland experience and the start of the Vegas experience, and was always just so open and transparent with us. And Max, who's given us way too much of his time over the past couple of years. Like, you know, and JT, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, like, there's been times where, you know, the locker room, you maybe feel like, hey, you know, it's a good locker room, but it's not a great locker room. And we've been so fortunate over the past couple of years. And while maybe the results on the field didn't bear this out, like, we've had such a good group of guys. Yeah. Like, we really have. Like, we've had such a wonderful group of young men who are committed to doing it the right way and being involved in the community and being active participants in what we're trying to do on the content side here with the team. And again, like, I know that at times it hasn't, you know, shown in terms of the wins and losses on a Sunday, but by and large, we've had such a good group as of late. And I certainly get that feeling with this group again as they get ready to dive into 2025 with Pete Carroll and the crew.
All right, Eddie, as we wrap it up, what do you want to say to the fans? Because you met a lot of fans over your life, and very similar to myself, when I started, I wasn't a part of the Raider Nation, and now it's my life. You started, and your history with the Oregon Ducks and what you were passionate about with soccer. We always talked about the premiership. These fans, you had a relationship. What would you like to say to them?
Yeah, I think just as simple as it is, JT, just like a sincere thank you, right? Like that's really what I keep coming back to. I've gotten a chance over the past couple weeks, like I said, to say thank you to so many people, and having the chance to take a little bit of time, whether it's 30 seconds or 30 minutes, and just kind of share my gratitude with everyone has been a lot of fun. And so we always joke like, hey, we can put all these shows together and feel really good about them, but if 9 people are listening to them, those shows aren't going to last very long. So the fact that the fans have been such an integral part in what we do and kind of telling us, hey, this works, or hey, maybe this is not working and kind of worth a second set of eyes has been hugely important for us. So I think just a sincere thank you. I feel like I'm not going away. I'm not leaving forever. You're going to see me popping up from time to time. I look forward to the day, whether it's in 3 months or maybe a little longer than that, of getting to go to a game here at Allegiant as a fan and enjoying a few adult beverages with my pals and kind of experiencing what a game day at Allegiant is like when I'm not wearing a suit and tie. So I'm really excited. I think, again, I'm just leaving with a ton of gratitude and a ton of excitement for the future. And again, I'm not leaving forever. I'm still going to be floating around. You're going to see me on Twitter and all that good stuff. I'll be maybe getting to engage with the fans in a different type of way. But yeah, just a very sincere thank you to everyone who's kind of made this happen. And I'm not leaving forever, and I will see everyone soon.
Good seeing you. Good talking to you. Good calling you a friend. Yes. I know I'll see you down the road again. To you and your wife,
absolutely.
And to you and your wife and kids, enjoy this chapter of your life, because these are the best years of your life, and they're gonna love it. So we'll see you real soon, Eddie. And thanks for everything you've done for me.
Of course. And speaking of real soon, JT, I don't want to put you up against the clock, but it is funny because if you notice, and I know you know the schedule, where are the Raiders opening the preseason in about 2 weeks? Seattle. So you will see me. I will be there. I will be floating around. So this is more of a see you later, not a permanent goodbye. But yeah, we're very excited, and I've always appreciated you. And like I said, I know we'll talk soon.
I'll see you in the lobby for a cold one when we land. Take care, buddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll talk soon. Bye, JT.
There's Eddie Pascal. Really appreciate that. And I wanted to do that here on Friday for a number of reasons. Emotional week, right? Emotional week. Came back from a vacation. Raider Mort passed away. Well, he passed away before that, but I wasn't able to get back, and that really hurt. And then I found out that Eddie was leaving, and I've worked with Eddie for 11 years of my career. This is year 28 for me, and Eddie came in, excuse me, to Oakland, a young buck, and I remember him when he came into the organization, and I said, wow, here's another new guy who's working behind the scenes at Silver and Black Productions, and what's it going to be like with him? And he rose to a big job. He rose to a big job with the Raiders. I worked with him often. I saw him in the building a lot. He was in the department that I worked with. And I've always said, whenever you work with someone, and again, we're not talking life and death. This is an example. I feel good about this. On a Friday, I was telling Q about it earlier in the week. I wanted to make sure we did something for Eddie. So what we're going to do is the next hour of the show, we're going to play some of the montage of Eddie's work. And I feel good about that because Eddie's work was here. He stepped in for me for some shows. He hosted some really good podcasts. He has good Raider conversation, better than the Raider conversation I have heading out into the weekend. So Bobby and I said in the beginning of the week, let's put together, have Eddie on, and let's put together an Eddie Pascal montage of some of the great work he did. And we're going to do some of that coming up here because whenever, and this is really important, and a lot of it had to do with my life and this is about Eddie, not about me. When a door opens or closes in your life, you go through it. Okay, the door shuts, another one's going to open. You might not want to go through that door next. You might want to take some time. Like Eddie said, hey, I'm going to take the summer, figure out what's next. Maybe you want to go and break the door down and get another opportunity. I don't know where your life is now and what you're going to do. But we're living in a different time now. Eddie's a really young guy, and he's got his whole career in front of him. I think he'll probably do great things in the NFL with all the contacts that he has. But when you lose an opportunity or gain an opportunity, and Eddie left on his own terms because he's got something great going on with his wife up in Seattle, new opportunities arise. And a lot of young people today can't see that. There's a lot of pressure on young people with status. What's your job? What are you going to do next? What did you do? Is your next job going to pay more? Stop. We got through that. I think a lot of that had to do with COVID. Once we got past COVID, on the other side, everybody was like, I don't want to be defined by my job. I don't want to be defined by where I live. I don't want to be defined by the hours I work. And you get other opportunities, and they're just as good. They're just as good. And I can promise you, Eddie Pascal is going to go on to do some really good things because he did great work with the Raiders. And we'll talk about that coming up here in the final hour of the show. I'll get to that. You'll hear some of Eddie's interviews, his content there, and he deserves that because he's a part of our team here. And as I said in our conversation, he was behind the scenes trying to put this channel together with our bosses over there and Eddie and some people there. That was not easy. Natalie, who runs Lotus, she did a great job with Tony Bonici before that and Tony putting this deal together. And I'm very proud to work on this channel, Raider Nation Radio, for our partners, but most importantly, our relationships. And we had a good relationship with Eddie Pascal, and we'll continue to do that. Friday is a Modelo Friday. I got my schedule for training camp. It's busy. We're going to be out over in Deep Henderson almost every day or every other day doing shows out there, our morning show. I'll let Q tell you all about that. I'm sure the morning show's talking about that. This is kind of the last weekend to kind of get some fresh air. Not that you can get that in Vegas. So I'll be gone for a day or two, but we'll be back on Monday. And we're going to leave you with some Eddie Pascal content in the final hour of the show. For Bobby and putting it together. It's always worked for him, and I appreciate him doing that. This hour and all of Friday is brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo, the number one beer in America on the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio.